Dear Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for all its many blessings. Thank you for allowing us to come here and worship you and learn more about you. And please be with Millie as she goes to her MRI on Thursday. And please be with the Hammock family as they're going into surgery and recovering. And please be with the troops overseas and help them get back safely. Please be with our new president as he is doing what he does. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would please turn in your psalm books to number 213, 213.
Here we are, but straying pilgrims, here our path is often dim. But to cheer us on our journey still, we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our feet are often weary on the hills that throng our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers, but our hearts within us say, yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our souls are often fearful on the pilgrim's lurking foe, but the Lord is our defender, and he tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes.
Next song is number 152, number 152.
By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the Word and show the death of our dear Lord until He comes. Here's one.
Is there anyone here this evening that did not get a chance to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning? If you do so, raise your hand, please. Shall we pray? Dear God, our Father in heaven, we come to thee at this time thanking you for this beautiful day which you have given us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather around thy table. Pray that you would be with those that are partaking of this bread which represents thy son's body on that cross of Calvary as he died on that cross for our sins. Pray that they may do so in a well-pleasing manner in thy sight. It's through Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Did we overlook anyone?
Will you pray with me? Dear God, our Father in heaven, we come before you this evening. We ask that you will be with those who are fixing to partake of the fruit of the vine. We pray that you will help them recognize that this is representing the blood that your Son, Jesus Christ, shed for us on that cruel cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Was anyone overlooked?
Number 392. We'll sing the first verse only. Do me. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God.
Is there anyone at this time that needs to give back as we've been commanded? Let us pray. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we come to Thee at this time praying that those that are giving a portion of their money that Thou hast blessed us with, we pray that they would do so with a cheerful heart. We thank Thee for all the many blessings that You so generously bestowed upon us and pray that those things may continue. It's through Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We'll sing all three verses. 3, 7, 4. There's a message true and glad for the simple and the sad. Ring it out. Ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out. Ring it out. Divine, send it today. It's clear. The lost and those in doubt. Merrily ring. Wonderful news. Making them free. Happy and free. Ring, ring, ring. Saving grace, make it known in every place. Ring it out, ring it out. Help the needy ones who know Him for all the blessings flow. Ring it out, ring it out, ring it out. Merrily ring, speed it away. Message divine. Send it today. Let it clear the lost and those in doubt, darkness and doubt. Merrily ring, wonderful news, making them free, happy and free. Ring, 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 ring. Sin and doubt to sweep away till it's all gone a better day.
Ring it out,
ring it out,
ring it out. Till the simple courage won,
for His mighty Son. Ring it out,
ring it out,
ring it out. Merrily ring, speed it away. Message divine, send it today. Let it cheer the lost and those in doubt, darkness and doubt. Merrily ring, wonderful news. champion free. Ring, 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 ring the message out.
If you would, please turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Mark 4, 1 through 20. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and there are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who bear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
Good evening. If you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading from Mark 4, 5, and 6. Mark 4, 5, and 6. We were told to talk about the parable of the sower, and I was specifically asked to talk about the stony ground and how it relates to Judas Iscariot. Mark 4, 5, and 6. It says, "Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." I think that if we're going to be talking about how it relates to Judas, I think we need to talk a little bit about Judas. We're not going to take the time to read this, but we see in Mark 3, 14 and 19 that Judas Iscariot was an apostle. And he did, in fact, betray Jesus. And it says in John 13, if you'd like to follow along, John 13, 24 through 27. John 13, 24 through 27. It says here that he's identified as a traitor or a betrayer. 13, 24 through 27. Here Jesus is talking to the apostles in a group, and he says that one of the people in the group is going to betray him. And Simon Peter, it says, "Simon Peter therefore mentioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, 'Lord, who is it?' Jesus answered, 'It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it.' And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of the bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.'" So here we see that he is in fact going to betray Jesus. And in Matthew 26, 14 through 16, we see here that he actually does betray Jesus. Matthew 26:14-16. It says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him." Well, we've talked a little bit about Judas, and now let's talk about how he actually relates to the parable in the stony ground. If you'd follow along, Mark 4:13-17, please. Mark 4:13-17. This is a little bit of an explanation of the stony ground for some who aren't clear about it. 13-17. "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." We know that Judas did, in fact, stumble. He betrayed Jesus. And as it says in verse 15, Satan did come into him immediately and take away the word that was sown in his heart. I'm going to ask a very important question right now. Will you keep your roots deep in the soil? We know that Judas, in fact, didn't. And so are you going to follow Judas's way, or will you keep your roots deep in the soil? Thank you.
If you would, please return to Mark chapter 4, passage we've been focusing on this evening. We're going to look at the next section of this parable, Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. It reads, "And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop." Some important things to notice about this section of the parable is that different from the first part, there was nothing specifically wrong with the roots in the soil, but there were outside sources that choked out the growth in the plant. We're going to compare this to King Solomon. King Solomon, as we know, was very zealous for the Lord. He loved God. We read in 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. If you'd read along with me, please. First Kings 3, beginning in verse 3, says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?' The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing." It's obvious that Solomon had no evil intentions or ill will towards the Lord. He wanted to serve God, and God loved Solomon because of his answer of this question. We're not going to read it right now, but we can also read in 1 Kings chapter 6 that he is the one that actually ended up building the temple. So even though Solomon was very zealous for the Lord, his heart was turned away, as we know, by his many wives. In 1 Kings 11, beginning in verse 1. "But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nation of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods.' Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." So even someone as zealous as Solomon was turned away from the Lord by the thorns that were his many wives. Some important lessons that I think we can learn from this. First of all, God knows what he's talking about. Back in chapter 11, in verse 2, it said God had specifically commanded the people not to intermarry with the foreign women, but Solomon did, and as God said would happen, his heart was turned away. So when God says something, we definitely need to listen to it and obey it. Also, Satan isn't very obvious in the way that he tempts us. He's not going to tell us, "Hey, I'm tempting you. This is something that, you know, a pretty woman, you're not going to think is going to be leading you away." But in fact, she actually would, or in this case, all 700 of them. Also, even those who have a strong desire to serve the Lord can be led astray. Someone as zealous and strong in the Lord as Solomon was turned away, and so can we if we're not careful. Thanks.
Please turn in your song books to number 390. I'm going to sing all three verses. "Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him his joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hands may lead me over drearest ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus over land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free. Ready as he summons me to go or stay. Anywhere with Jesus when he points the way. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot go. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Well, good evening. Guess where I'm going to start out? Mark chapter 4. I've got the good news. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and it came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into good soil, and they grew up and increased. They yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. This scripture can be easily perceived as one of great hope. It shows that despite the mass majority of seed that was lost and wasted, a remnant survived. A remnant prospered. This passage is obviously a symbol of the world and its ability to either accept the word and reap and grow and prosper, or to reject it and turn away and suffer. The Apostle Paul was a prime example of the fertile and good soil that openly received and grew from the seed, or in this case, the word. Now, someone beforehand pointed out that I put Saul. I didn't think it was fair to point at Paul killing Christians and stuff, so do not get confused that it says Saul at the very top. I think everyone could easily agree that Paul was just as zealous of a sinner as he was a Christian. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. This shows how adamant Saul was about his work in persecuting Christians, I think. That's Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. And Paul and Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. It says he was breathing threats and murder. I think this is a pretty big indicator that this was a fairly natural and regular thing for him to do. Turn now with me to Acts chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. That's Acts chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. It shows us that Paul wholeheartedly believed that what he was doing was right, even as a sinner. It reads, "And Paul, looking intently at the council, said, 'Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day.'" Now, I'm pretty sure that none of us in here are guilty of killing Christians or anything close to that degree. But how many of us have done something we thought was right, but it in all reality was not? I think that might hit a little closer to home. So how do we achieve being this good soil that opens up and grows and becomes what the world should see in us. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. That's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. It reads, "And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God." There are no exceptions to following God's commandments. He has given us a book containing all we need to know to grow and prosper in life. And believe it or not, for such a great prize, it's not difficult to become right with God. If you have heard the word and you truly believe it, all that is left for you to do is to confess your sins, to repent, and be baptized for remission of your sins, and then live a life that's pleasing to God. If there are those present tonight who wish to begin or renew their life in Christ, please come forward as we stand and sing. Number 332.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely.
For coming, and hi to any visitors. Tonight we have In Touch, I believe it's N through Z, and if there's not any more announcements, I'll call on the person to pray.
Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this beautiful day to start our new week. We pray for those who have started new families. We also pray for those who were not at services today and pray for their quick return. We give thanks to you for sending your son to us so that we may one day join you in heaven. Until that day comes, we give thanks to you for everything you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.